Good morning, friends. I thought all week about that because the signature thing that I just so love about Grandview is when our main guy that speaks, Jeremy, gets up and what does he say? Good morning, family. And I knew that probably the friends and the family would be the only distinction you could tell between Jeremy and I today. Jeremy deserves a break. And he has the fifth Sunday off, and so he is not going to be giving us our lesson today. I will. I appreciate that. I appreciate each and every one of you being with us this morning. Let me get kind of arranged here a little bit. There's not much space up here, Jeremy. If you do have one of these cards, we really do care about you and what you think and what you feel. So if you'll fill that out, Damien's going to be getting that for us at the end of our lesson today. So we're glad that you're here. I got to kind of get set up here. I have to have a few props. Trash can. A $20 bill. And some scotch tape. I love my wife to death. But as I was here early this morning and I brought the trash can from the back in the deacon's room and I brought it up here, I've been with this lady for 42 years. I kid you not. She said, "Is that for you to vomit in?" And I'm like, that isn't exactly what I had in mind. But perception becomes reality. So we're going to try and make that. However, if need be, we have another brother elder right here ready to take over. So, all right. Listen, today's lesson has been drafted so that hopefully you can get something out of it. I don't know all of you. There may be somebody here that has never even heard of Jesus. And you don't even know about this thing that we're talking about on Jesus. There may be a lot of you here that have put on Jesus Christ and have been baptized and said, I am living this. Man, I just don't find any happiness in this. What am I supposed to be doing as a Christian? So whatever we did and whatever I did this morning, I hope whatever stage you are, we're all in a different space along the highway getting to heaven here. I hope there's something in this for you. But if you don't get anything out of what I say, thank you for coming. We had the most important thing happen today when we remembered Jesus. And Derek said, it's emotional. It's powerful. I appreciate all of the men and what they have done in our worship today. But we got to commune together and we've gotten to remember Jesus. So I appreciate that. There really were four lessons that I wanted to give today, but I kind of condensed them into one. And there wasn't enough room in the bulletin, so I just started with the first one. But if there were four lessons, it's lesson number one is, I got a guy. And we're going to come back to that. Lesson number two is, the value of a $20 bill. Lesson number three is, lessons from a seven-year-old. And lesson number four is, finding happiness. So we're going to get through that in short order, and we will do that. But let's start out with, I got a guy. When I say I got a guy, almost everybody here is like, yep. The women are like, I've heard that 100 times. The men are sitting there. It usually happens when I go to Jeremy and I say, Jeremy, could you help me out with this? And Jeremy goes, yeah, I can't. I got a guy. I got a guy. And we do that, and somebody wants to help us. I had that happen to me about 4 years ago. I was doing in my business a little bit of work and doing a promotional thing. My granddaughter was in Florida, and she was in Little League for the first time in her life. And my son had gotten involved, and apparently they did a fundraising where you would buy ribeye steaks. And I needed what I thought was a substantial amount of ribeye steaks. And Mike called and he says, hey, Dad, could you contribute a little bit of money? I said, this is perfect. I'm doing this thing on a promotion, but if I did ribeye steaks, I'd need about $2,000 worth of ribeye steaks. And I said, Mike, it's just not going to work. And Mike said, I got a guy. We'll get him there. And it ended just like you thought. Before it was done, they easily in Florida had $2,000 of ribeye steaks. They said, thank you for the contribution. They gave them out. And then what do? And Mike says, well, we got to get these to Iowa. I said, I got a guy. I got a guy. And then he calls the truck. Man, it's on a short delivery. It's all of these coolers, about four of them. And then we crammed them into there. I got a guy. And that's how it always ends up. Well, what I'm going to tell you this morning is that I think God says, I got a guy. And when he thinks about Abraham and Sarah, in chapter 12 of Genesis, God talks to Abraham in chapter 12. And in verse 2, he says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. He tells Abraham that. And then in chapter 15, he has this covenant with Abraham. And in chapter 15, in the first five verses, it reads, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. The result of that after God makes a covenant with Abraham is that Sarah says, I've got an idea here. This isn't working. We are becoming old in age and I am barren. Abraham, you take Hagar, my servant, and you have a child with her. And Abraham goes, great idea. We'll take this on ourselves. He does. Ishmael is born. God comes back and he says to Abraham when he's 90 years old, or when he was 99 years old, I'm sorry, and he says, That wasn't what I was talking about. You're going to have a child of your own flesh and blood. And he laughed. Abraham did. And then he goes to Sarah and says, Sarah, that wasn't what I had in mind. You're going to have a child of your own flesh and blood. And she laughed. Abraham and Sarah, in their old age, had a son by Isaac. God said, I got a guy. I got a guy. Go on into the Old Testament in Exodus in our reading today. And Moses in the burning bush. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7 through 11. And God had appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And at the end of that in 7 to 11, or in verse 9, it says, And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. God says, I hear the cry of the Israelites. They are oppressed. They are having a tough time. And Moses, go. Five times. Five times Moses says, Whoa, who am I that I am going to go? What if they ask questions? What will I say? What if they don't believe me? God, you don't understand. I am so slow of speech. I get tongue tangled. I can't do this. And God gets upset with Moses. He gets upset with him. And Moses says, Will you just send somebody else? And God said, I got a guy, and it's you, Moses. It's you. We have a similar story in Acts in chapter 9 in the New Testament when we talk about Saul's conversion. Saul, at this point, going to become Paul. Now, each one of us should think about our past. You've all had a little rough past. We're all sinners. I can't fathom how Paul was. Paul was a Jew of all Jews, and he believes so much in this that he's on the road to Damascus, and he says, listen, I have got letters, and I am going to Damascus, and I'm going to get these people, they're called Christians, and I'm going to bring them back, and we're going to put them in prison. We're going to put them in prison. And he's on the road to Damascus, and he gets blinded by the light. He doesn't eat for 3 days and three nights. Half of you in here right now are wondering what you're going to have for lunch today. And Paul doesn't eat for 3 days. He doesn't take anything for 3 days. And he gets led back, and he goes in Acts 9 in verse 15, because at the same time, God talks to Ananias. And this is good in verse 15. After God is talking to Ananias, chapter 9 of Acts, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Ananias says, do you not understand where this guy has been and what he's doing? And you want me to go? And God says, I've got a guy. And my guy is Saul, who is going to go out. And in chapter 22, in verses 14 and 15, Ananias says to Paul then, he said, the God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all people and of what you have seen and heard. And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. And he did, and scales fell from his eyes, and he could see. He baptized and he ate. God said, I got a guy. He took the 12, in my opinion, very simple people, and he said, you're going to be my apostles, and you're going to spread God's word. You're going to do that. I got a guy. Lesson number two, I have a $20 bill. Every one of you would look and say, that's worth $20. Forget about inflation and all of that. I drop the bill on the ground. I pick it up. And you're like, it's still a $20 bill. Now I take my $20 bill and I rumple it up. It's still a $20 bill, right? I take my $20 bill and I throw it in the trash. Hang with me on this. I get it out of the trash. I clean it off. And it's still a $20 bill. I'm not going to do this because I think it's illegal to deface money. But if you would imagine me tearing this in half, I would have two separate parts. And I would take my tape and I would tape it back together. And what would I have? I'd have a $20 bill. The value is still the same. Now, the people in this room right now, you see, oh, I forgot. I can take it down here. It's not a clean $20 bill anymore. And I pick it up, and it's a $20 bill. People are like this $20 bill. They really are. Because there's a lot of you in your life, you've been crumpled up. You have been abandoned. People have mistreated you. You have been talked about. You have been hurt. You have been abused. You've been taken advantage of. You've been depressed. And you've been in a lot of situations. And you are still a $20 bill. God says in Hebrews, it has to be my favorite book of the Bible, or favorite quote in the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 2, God says in verse 10, in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy, that's Jesus and us, are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters in the assembly. I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And he says, here am I and the children God has given me. You still have value. No matter what happens to the $20 bill, I can take it to the restaurant this afternoon and spend it, and it's worth $20. Lesson number two, the value of a $20 bill. Lesson number three, let's go here. Now I want you to envision just a little bit. This is a true story. I found out I'm a grandpa. Well, I didn't find out I'm a grandpa. I am a grandpa. Okay. I found out I'm a grandpa, and there is such a thing as Bam Bam T-ball. Some of you know that. There's Bam Bam T-ball. I guess it's for 3 and 4 year olds or maybe 4 year olds. But I have a grandson who at the time was 5 years old. He was 4 years old. Charlie was 4 years old. Okay, he's 5 now, but he was 4 years old and he is in Bam Bam T-ball. Now Charlie on July the 23rd this year was being a 4 year old. A lot of you say, I think I can understand that. He had had 2 or 3 practices, and this was like his second game, and it's the cutest thing in the world to see 4 year olds out there on the ball field. On July the 23rd at Mackinac Sports Complex in Norwalk, Iowa, it was hot. It was kind of a hot day, and being the grandparents that we are, boy, we are proud. We've got our lawn chair, and we are there to see Bam Bam T-ball. And it's the second day, and we get there, and Nick, I think, was out of town, and we get there, and it's Charlie and his sister Caroline and his grandma Cindy and Grandpa Ron and Christy, Mom. That's who's there. Charlie was a 4-year-old, and he decided that even though that there were 8 people out there on that field, he wasn't going out there. And if you know anything about Charlie, he's not going out there. So here's the solution, and here's how this unfolds. I'm sitting there just being grandpa sitting in the lawn chair. The first person that goes to work is Mom. Now, Christy, if you don't know, has a degree in business, but I really think she's got a degree in psychology because she knows her child, and it is like, you know we paid for this, you know you committed to this, you know you wanted to do this, and she is going through all of that, and Charlie is like, I am not going out there. Second one comes. The other woman in his life that is glued to his hip, Cindy, decides, Charlie? And she starts working on him. And it goes back and forth, and why don't you want to? That would be good, and da-da-da-da-da. Charlie's not going out there. So then the old wise one decides he's going to do it. Now, my idea is I'm going to get out of the lawn chair, and I'm going to go over to the fence because by some magical action, I'm going to get Charlie to see how excited this is that I'm going to go over there. Hey, Charlie, come on over here. Hey, let's look at these people. They're having fun. They're doing that. And that didn't work. And Charlie wasn't going over there. Then there was a 7-year-old, Caroline. And think of this on the lessons from a 7-year-old. She says, hi, Charlie. Come on. A 7-year-old. 3 years older than all these other 8 kids that she didn't even know. Takes him by the hand. And he's like, okay, I'll go. And goes out. Doesn't go to the edge of the field. Goes out into the middle of the diamond. And I'm thinking, well, that was nice. The sister took him out there, stood there. They kept playing baseball. She stood there the whole time When the ball got hit, she didn't get in front of him. She said, "Come on, get the ball." And he did. And Charlie started smiling. He liked it. And I'm like, boy, that was nice. She got him out there. The inning's over. They come into the dugout. I'm like, well, here come. Nope. Caroline doesn't come there. She goes into the dugout and she sits with people that are 3 years older and says, "Charlie, it's going to be your turn to bat here," and does that. Well, boy, that was nice. She got him out into the field and into bat and did that. Nope. She went out there again and did the same thing the next inning. Do you understand lessons from a seven-year-old? That's what Christianity is. I confess to you all too often, my idea is, Sammy, here's what you need to do to be a Christian. But then I'm not involved in Sammy. I spent 3 months teaching the book of Galatians. Paul is so powerful about the book of Galatians, and he goes about circumcision, and he talks all this time about, you people, you knew the way, and you're being perverted, and don't listen to these people. Thought it was a pretty decent class, and that Wednesday night when we were done, I had a person come up to me, said, "That's good what you said. How do I do that?" I was dumbfounded. Do you understand lessons from a seven-year-old? Lessons from a seven-year-old. And then finally, if you want to find happiness, I like steak. If you want to be happy for an hour, eat a steak. I like golf. I'm not very good at it. But if you want to be happy for a day, take a day and go play a round of golf. It's pretty neat. I've been privileged to go on a cruise. If you want to be happy for a week, go on a cruise. It's pretty nice. But if you want to be happy for life, find Jesus Christ. You want to be happy for life, find Jesus Christ in your life. God says, "I got a guy," in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. This is when he's talking about the Christian. He says, "Look, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." I know of no other religion where God will seek you out. And if you're sitting there today and you go, "God doesn't know me," he loves you so much and he does know you. And he says, there is value in you. There is value. God says, "I got a guy, and that guy is you." He says, "I will use you in my kingdom. I got a guy." He says, "I value you." But he says, it's a life of doing deeds. You can't just sit there and say, "Charlie, go out onto the field." You got to get involved in their life. He says, "I got a guy, it's you." But he says, and I don't want to call it a club. It's not a club. This Christianity thing is not a club. It is not. Sometimes it's kind of exclusive. And it's not because men make the rules. But God says, here's the rules. I set the rules. I love you. I'm going to seek you. It doesn't matter what you have done or did. I am going to do that, and I'm going to seek you out. But you have to understand Jesus. And you have to understand the commitment I made. God says, "I gave my son." You talk about that powerful, Derek. My son, I gave him up. Because I loved you so much. But you got to confess this. You got to acknowledge this. It's my son that I gave. And I gave him so that you could have eternal life. You have to believe that and you have to accept that. And you need to be washed in his blood. And we didn't make these rules. I didn't make the rules. But the rules are here. And the rule says you need to be baptized. You have to put on Jesus Christ through baptism, and you need to commit that you're going to live like a 7-year-old and you're going to get involved. I think there's something in that lesson for any of us. But if you're struggling with it, we're going to have an elder standing right here that would take and talk with you, pray with you, share that. If you haven't heard about Jesus and you're like, man, he talks about this Jesus and you want to know a little bit more, we'll help you out with that too. Whatever it is, let's stand together and let's sing.